What are you doing? Oh, okay. Sorry. I didn't know about that. Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
Okay. Wonderful. When this is all done, I'll have many stories to share with you. Good morning. I'm Carolyn Underwood, PW moderator, and ending my term in May. It has been a wonderful journey learning about the role of PW has on so many levels. Our theme for this service is Women Called to Lead with Love. It's quite needed in these times. The two particular characteristics of women who lead with love are the gift of hospitality and the gift of building consensus. When you hear those two traits, who comes up in your mind? I see Bobby Hoops, Jenny Blanchard, Mary Ellen Bent, Sally Miller, Forrestine Porter, Morrissey Shields, Margaret McGinnis, Kathy Trotwine, Kathy Arnold, Jane Love, Val Kastner, Marty Farwell, Peg Walton, Mae Dixon, and many, 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 many more. I would like for those ladies to see me in Fellowship Hall today. You have a story to tell. There are so many women in this congregation who invite others into their hearts and into their homes. As women who continue to demonstrate hospitality in our churches and in our home, we need to remember, Leviticus 19:34. The alien who resides with you shall be with you to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself. We need to practice radical hospitality and welcome the most alienated in our communities. The stranger among us have names and have stories and value. Welcome them not just in our churches, but in our lives can become a source of growth for us as individuals on our journey, on our faith journey. In building consensus, when you look at the cover of the bulletin, you may not recognize women who look like you. Groups in Alaska and other Native Americans sit in circles to deliberate and make decisions, not by voting, but by building consensus. This model has long been used by Presbyterian women sitting in the circle, sharing, learning, and coming to decisions by building consensus. You were each given a ribbon attached to a card. Use the card for giveaways during fellowship by placing it in the basket of one of the tables of love that you desire to have a special gift. That love table simply means that women at the tables have a passion and love for something to be shared with you today. The PW extends our hospitality to you. The journey makes the difference.
Now please join me in the call to worship. We gather to worship God, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. We gather to worship God, for God has called us, God's own people, and has given us gifts to be a faithful people. We remember that God's steadfast love endures forever. Let us now offer worthy worship to God, whose steadfast love endures forever.
Now, please join us in our call to prayer. God has given us the ability to lead with love. God has promised to forgive us when we fail to do this. God extends loving and healing mercy to us always, even before we ask for it. Knowing and trusting the steadfast love that is ours in Jesus Christ, let us now confess our sins and offenses before God and each other. You have searched us and known us and still love us. We confess that we take this love and mercy for granted. We are careless with our gifts and resources, and we refuse to focus on you and your will for all creation. You call us to lead with love, but we are reluctant leaders, or we lead with only rules and efficiency in mind. Grant us, O God, caring hearts, attentive minds, and renewed commitment to follow you and to help lead others to you. In the saving grace of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
The psalmist reminds us that God wants to gather us in, like a mother hen gathers her brood under her wings. Under the wings of God's love, we can let go of sin and guilt. We can abide in the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. Friends, in Christ we are forgiven and loved.
Thanks be to God.
In Jesus Christ, we know God's forgiveness and peace. Let us share that peace with one another. The peace of Christ be with you.
Now for your special message. We've got volume on that one. Good morning. Have a seat. Come on down. Well, this is ironic that it's all girls today. Wow. Come on down, please. Please. Good morning. When I was asked to give you this special message, I thought about each of you, and I thought about the theme for today, which is women called to lead with love. And I thought, you know, sometimes people say, oh, children are the future leaders. Have you heard that? Well, I want to suggest something to you that's even different. I think you are the current leaders. I think you are in positions where you can be an amazing leader in the things that you do right now in your lives. Can you think of some things, situations you're in where you might be asked to be a leader? Anybody ever a line leader in school? Something as simple as that? Have you ever known people who are really good line leaders? And some who are not very good line leaders? Yeah, what do the good ones know to do? Can you think about what a good line leader does? It's a good, no? Do they run? No. They know how to walk, they know where to stop, right? They know how to set a good example if they're a good line leader and not be being silly. Have you seen that at school? Where are some other places that you might be a leader? Are you on any sports teams? Any sports where you might be set an example for others? I know you are. A couple of you are, at least. Okay. What about here in church? How are you leaders? Or in your own church? You play chimes? Does that lead our worship? And what if you got up there and just held those chimes and just started ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing? Would that be a good leader in worship? No. So you're already, even if you don't know it, you're being a leader. And in a few minutes, Megan is going to read to us from Ephesians. And I want to just lift up a couple words for you to think about when she's reading, if you'll listen to these words, okay? And it's not necessarily just about leaders. It's about how we should be all the time. But I think it especially applies to leaders. It says, with humility. Do you know what it means to be humble? What does humility mean? Any idea? No? Uh-oh. Vocabulary lesson 101. All right, let me ask you this. Did you guys see the girls' basketball game where the young woman hit a three-point score with 1 second left to go in the game? Did you hear about that? No? Oh, man, it's amazing. I bet if you go home, you can find it somehow. Just this last week, I think. When she hit that three-point score at the very end of the game, she made a basket from way over on the side. That helped her team win. And rather than saying, I did it, I won the game, I'm the best, what do you think she said? Do you have any idea? What does it take to win a game? Did she do it all by herself? No. How did they win that game? Not gonna say. Oh, you guys are really trying this way. Doesn't it take the whole team to win the game? That 3 points was amazing. It is being talked about. She's even making commercials now. But that 3 points would have meant nothing if her teammates hadn't also made points during the game. So she was humble in her leadership. And we're also told to be gentle in our leadership, in our life. Be patient. Uh-oh, that's a hard one, isn't it? Yeah, that's a real hard one, especially as a leader. If you're working in class on a class project, and you have one of the people in your group that's not doing what they're supposed to do, it's hard to be patient with them and say, come on, this is a team. Let's all do this together. Bearing with one another in love, putting up with the one in the group that just doesn't seem to want to do what everybody else wants to do, bearing with them. So I hope that as you think about yourselves, you think about how you are amazing future women, young women now, who are leaders right now, and how you can make a difference in other people's lives. Would you do that? That challenge for the week? Okay. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for these young women. We thank you for the gifts that you have given to each one of them individually and together. And we pray that as they grow in faith and grow in their life, that you will give them true leadership qualities that they might lead us and others in the days and years to come. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may go back to your seats.
Now, as we prepare to hear the word read and proclaimed, please join me in our silent preparation. Gracious God, as we prepare to hear your word to us, quiet other voices that would draw us away from attentive listening and faithful responding. Grant us new understanding and insights to help us follow you more faithfully. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now go to God in a time of silent preparation, beginning and ending with the bell.
Our scripture reading for today is Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture is from Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. I want first to say thank you to Catherine and to Betty and to George Friedrich Handel, because he wrote that. If it just stayed on the page, it wouldn't be any good, but when it is performed, it's just wonderful. First of all, you know I'm not a preacher. I'm usually sitting there in the choir, and I love to listen to the sermons here at Trinity. I often find that I'm preaching to myself as something I hear in the message reminds me of an event or a memory in my own life. I guess you could call it self-talk. Maybe you do that too. And so I ask that the Holy Spirit may be with you and with me as we ponder these scriptures together and find new insights about the women of those early days. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How did the women in the New Testament lead with love? A few of the women are named, but beyond those, we have to use our imagination to figure out how they served Jesus and the other believers. From Mark chapter 15, we know that among the crowd at the cross, while Jesus was crucified, were Mary Magdalene, another Mary, and Salome. And Mark goes on, these used to follow him and provide for him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. My guess is that providing for him in Galilee and later in Jerusalem meant things like meals and financial support. And in the 16th chapter of Mark, we learn that those same three women, the two Marys and Salome, were the first ones to know of his resurrection at the empty tomb. Let's see what we can glean from the scriptures about the activities of the believers, especially the women, in the early days after Jesus ascended, after he was taken from their sight, as he was blessing them, according to Luke. The small group of followers did what Jesus had told them to do. They returned to Jerusalem. In the book of Acts, Luke tells us they stayed continually at the temple. That may have been, you know, sort of hanging out at the temple, I don't know. It could have been just the men, or perhaps the women went to the separate court of the women, beyond which the women were not allowed to go. Acts 1:14 says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. It seems to me that it would have been a frightening, exciting time, getting used to the idea that Jesus had died, and then getting used to the idea that he was alive, and then that he was no longer with them. What were these women doing? These believers had to sleep somewhere and have meals, and my imagination tells me that many of the women gave the gift of hospitality to all those in the group. And there were probably children that had to be tended to and educated and taken care of. About 120 is mentioned as the number of believers at that time, and they were in Jerusalem, which was quite a city. Acts 2:5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. They probably had traveled there for the Festival of Weeks. These visitors could not miss hearing the sound of the wind as the Spirit blew, nor the excitement of the Christ believers. The Spirit really empowered the hearts and souls and minds of the Christ followers' small group. The book of Acts tells us that they started speaking in other languages and people from other places could understand them. Sometimes I have felt empowered by something like the Holy Spirit in a very small way when I've had some of the children here at Trinity leading in worship with the song chimers. With their music, my mind and heart feel expanded and everything falls together well for them, and I'm filled with gratitude and joy for making that music together in the leading of worship. I don't remember speaking in another language, but sometimes we use American Sign Language. Where are the kids? Jesus? That's American Sign Language for Jesus, okay? I'm sure you've had experiences of the Spirit in your life too. Imagine that arrival of the Spirit with the big wind, the tongues of fire, many people hearing and speaking in many languages, and Peter so energized and filled with the Spirit that he preached a very powerful sermon. As a result, about 3,000 persons were added to the small group of believers. Can you imagine the great feelings of awe and wonder, of belonging, of togetherness, of compassion? We often refer to Pentecost as the birth of the church, although the Christ-believing group wasn't separate from the Jewish tradition at all, but at this time they were all still practicing Jews, following the laws, praying in their homes, and worshiping in the temple. If you would care to, you might want to take a pew Bible and turn to page 120 in the New Testament. We're going to look at Acts 2, 42 through 47, searching for the various practices that help the growing group of believers build a bond with God and with each other. And we can use our imagination as we think especially of the women. This group of people probably includes many of the 3,000 baptized at Pentecost and more who had joined their group. This is Acts 2, 42 through 47, in case you're wondering. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The teaching about Jesus' life and acts, all the stories, all the parables he had taught them. They devoted themselves to fellowship, being together with the common bond that they had through Christ. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, celebrating the Lord's Supper, probably not as little squares of bread and a tiny cup of juice, but as a real meal, passing a loaf of bread and a pitcher of wine. Most likely it was a part of their ordinary meals when they lovingly remembered Jesus' words. And they devoted themselves to prayers, probably communal prayers as well as personal ones. The Psalms were their prayer book, and although many did not read, many had memorized the Psalms. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. Can you imagine that awe and wonder in this community? All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute their proceeds to all as any had need. Nothing but the Holy Spirit could be strong enough to move ordinary people to sacrifice for each other in that way. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord had added to their number those who were being saved. We get a glimpse of this group of believers, some of them very new to knowing and believing about Jesus. Studying, learning about Jesus' teachings and his wonderful works, being together in worship, praying together, sharing what they had with those in need, and lots of meals and fellowship in homes. Sounds a little bit like some Presbyterians I know. Women were certainly instrumental in all of this, but we don't see any names. Just so you know, later in Acts, when Paul and Silas were traveling to encourage the groups of believers in various cities, they went to a prayer gathering in Philippi, and newly baptized Lydia and her husband opened their home to these two traveling apostles, making them feel very welcome. So we have names of a few. We have Mary and the other Mary and Salome, and we have Lydia. Other than that, we have to imagine. Today, we're celebrating the God-given gifts of women. Let's name some of God's gifts to women.
in our time, not only back then. Hospitality, for sure. Openness to sharing meals. Friendship. Compassion. Long walks. Good talks and good listening. Sharing ideas. Studying scripture. Encouraging and teaching. Sharing life skills with others. Art. Cooking. Sewing. Yoga. Dancing. Music, camping, and maybe raising children. We're celebrating leadership with God's love in the workplace, in school, in organizations that do good works. Leadership with God's love in decision-making positions. Building consensus. Really, at the core, these all originate from a hospitality of the heart that is one of God's gifts to us. Opening our hearts to all people, all God's people who happen to show up in our lives. We might even live with somebody that is God's person. Respecting their gifts and understanding and their understandings about life. Leading with intentionality of God's love toward ourselves and others. Loving folks before we even meet them. Leading with God's love. As I was thinking of women with special gifts from God who have led with love, I was reminded of Trinity's first woman elder, elected by the congregation, who served Trinity with wisdom, love, and grace, Esther Elam. Another wise and active early woman elder who, among numerous other gifts she shared, directed wonderful children's Christmas pageants, Marion Lowry Major. A thorough and well-respected teacher of scripture, Dorcas Hancock. A sweet, loving person, a soprano with the voice of an angel, Carole King. High Neighbors, a weekly program for seniors that lasted all day and included lunch, singing favorite songs, bell ringing, and other activities. High Neighbors was initiated and managed by Dottie Duchek, who led with God's love. The first director of music at Trinity, the choir, the children's choir, and bell choir, and has also been our church historian, Marion Justice. A school teacher who 15 years ago, in her retirement, started Clothes to Kids when she recognized the importance of the dignity of appropriate clothing for school children, Jody I, who was a member of our church in the past, who with her friend Marie McClung led with God's love, and many, many more. I can imagine you are thinking of women you know who have led or are now leading with God's love here at Trinity or in some other place. You're going to have a chance to share those memories and thoughts, not with a microphone, but with a neighbor sitting near you. Please share with someone near you about a woman or a man or a young person who has been gifted by God and who has led with God's love in using that gift in our church, our community, our state, our country, our world. We'll take about 3 minutes to do that sharing, starting now. Thank you for sharing. I can't hear the names that you are saying, but I'm sure you've thought of many people that you know who lead with God's love. Perhaps you can tell me some of the ones you thought about once we get into the fellowship hall. God uses countless women and men of faith to lead with love here at Trinity and in our community, giving their unique gifts to help build the kingdom of God. I know of some people who do thoughtful and helpful things, never seeking recognition. I know some who act on what Jesus said, "Whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave." There are many of these people right here at Trinity who exemplify the living of lives worthy of the calling to which they are called. God calls each of us to lead with God's love in whatever circumstances we find ourselves. Amen.
Please join me in affirming our faith using the words from the brief statement of faith found printed in your bulletin or on the screen. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of peoples long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace.
Loving God, we thank you for mothers and fathers who lovingly raised and are raising their children and teaching them to be kind and thoughtful people. We thank you for the times they teach children how to work through difficult times, remembering they are always loved. Thank you for teachers and pastors.
We thank you for strangers who do not look like us, but serve as examples and role models as they lead and interact with others in tender and loving and caring ways. children.
God, we also pray that this day, for those who do not lead with love, we pray for those who lead with hardness of heart and shows disregard and disrespect for the human family and their welfare. Give all leaders hearts of love and a desire to do better and be better. Grant them forgiveness and commitment to be among those who lead with love, purpose, and compassion. Be with all your people, loving God, this day and in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now, as the ushers prepare to come forward to receive our tithes and offerings, please join me in offering our resources and ourselves. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and we who live in it. Freely we have received, and freely we give. Let us return to God the offerings of our life and the gifts of the earth.
Must have been cold there in my shadows to never have sunlight on your face. You were content to let me shine, that's your way. You always walked a step behind. Now I was the one with all the glory, while you were the one with all the strength. A beautiful face without a name for so long, a beautiful smile to hide the pain. Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I would like to be. I could fly higher than an eagle, for you are the wind beneath my wings. It might have appeared to go unnoticed, but I have it all here in my heart. I want you to know I know the truth. Of course I know it. I would be nothing without you. Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I would like to be. I could fly higher than an eagle, for you are the wind beneath my wings. Did I ever tell you you're my hero? You're everything, everything I wished I could be. Oh, and I could fly higher than an eagle, for you are the wind beneath my wings. 'cause you are the wind beneath my wings. Oh, the wind beneath my wings. Oh, you are the wind beneath my wings. Fly, fly, fly away. You let me fly so high. Oh, you are the wind beneath my wings. Oh, you are the wind beneath my wings. Fly, fly, so high against the sky, so high I almost touch the sky. Thank you, thank you, thank God for you, the wind beneath my wings.
Join me in our prayer of thanksgiving and dedication. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us, what we have gathered, in feeding the world with your love. Amen.
Oh,
As you go from this place, lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
And as you go, remember that it is in the goodness of God that we are born. It is in the providence of God that we are kept and cared for all the day long. And it is in the love of God, fully revealed in Jesus Christ, that we are loved and redeemed. In the name of the Creator God, the Savior God, and the Spirit God. Amen.